be honest, you know, I did not remember that I was supposed to do this at all.
Sorry.
So, please bear with me. And I didn't bring my proper reading glasses, so these are my 99p glasses. I stuff in my bag, so excuse my glasses. But step seven. I am really grateful for the steps and for each one, and each one is significant, each one is important, each one has its place. And we don't skip in any of them. You know, there isn't one that has more importance than any other. And step seven says, humbly asked him to remove shortcomings, and I have to say I have many. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to acknowledge that I had many, and I'll just briefly sum up my journey in OA. I came to OA in 2011, in January, and I spent most of my life trying to lose weight, trying to be slim, because I felt that if I was going to be slim, then I would have a perfect life and everything would fall into place, as you do. And so I did all manner of mad things to try and lose weight. And if at the time when I was trying to lose weight there had been that gastric bands and all of those things, that would have done it. I would have done everything. I would have wired my jaw. I would have done anything to lose weight. But I didn't want to change the way I ate. I wanted to be slim, and that was a big thing. It was be slim, but eat everything that I want to eat. I came to OA in 2011, as I said, and that was desperation. Basically, it was just like, I've tried everything else, so I'm going to try this thing. And I did, and I went to a meeting on the 22nd of January, and I've been coming ever since. The sponsor that I have, I got in April 2011, and I still have that sponsor. And I've been away, and I've come into this room today, and I still see many faces from that time when I stepped into the meeting, when it was just in a small church hall just around the corner. And I thank God for that, for the consistency of the meeting, for the strength of the meeting, and that we're still here and I can take that message abroad. But humbly asking to remove shortcomings, and I'm just going to read a little bit from the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And it says, having become completely ready to let go of our defects of character in step 6, we find that step 7 is simple. All we have to do is say a prayer, requesting that God take our shortcomings from us. There is a qualification, however. As we say the prayer, step 7 calls for us to adopt an attitude of humility. I had grown up with a faith, and when I considered humility was about me putting myself down and making you look good. Because that was my understanding of what humility was about. So it was always about putting myself down in some way, because then I would be a good person. Because if I didn't think good things about myself, but I thought them about you, then I must be a good person. And that gets quite twisted, and it can also then turn into ego, you know, because, and as bizarre as that might seem, because then it becomes, I'm really good at being poor me. You know, I'm really good at putting myself down, and I am just a martyr, you know, because I'm just so humble, you know. And so then it becomes then a really huge ego, because I'm really good at being humble, at putting myself down, at being below everybody else, and I'm such a good person. But it wasn't until I came into OA that I could recognise that that was what I was doing. Because when my sponsor talked to me about having ego and having pride, I kind of thought, me, of all the people in the world, because I'm just so kind and gentle and lovely, you know, that can't possibly be me. But through working the steps and working with a sponsor, I came to recognise that actually I had quite a huge ego as well. So you know when you're sort of looking through, and if you've worked through the steps and sort of started to, you know, look at your defects of character, when those words start to come in, you know, the pride, the ego, as a compulsive overeater, I kind of thought I was really far away from those things, and to recognise they were part of, you know, the shortcomings that I had was very, quite disconcerting, to be honest. But also the reality of being able to say, look, These are the things, exposing them to the cold light of day, because that's what this program does. It exposes things that we want to hide, that I want to hide. I do not want you to know that I have a huge ego. I do not want you to know that, you know, I want to control everybody. I do not want you to know that I am dishonest. I do not want anybody to know that. What I want you to think is, Brenda is so lovely. You could meet a lovelier woman than Brenda. She's so kind, she's so thoughtful. That's what I want everyone to think about me. But there's the reality. And I am those things as well. I am kind, I am thoughtful, but not all the time. You know, that's the truth of it. And that's the truth of most of us, that it isn't all the time. And those shortcomings, when they come up, they cause difficulties. They cause huge difficulties. Now, when I was in the food, I could not recognise those shortcomings because it was your fault. If within my family, if there was a problem, it was about you. All I could see was what everybody else did. I couldn't look at myself. And if I did, it was kind of with rose-tinted glasses, you know. I was very hard done by. And so, you know, of course it was okay for me to react in that way. Of course it was okay for me to take what wasn't mine. Of course, because I deserve it. I work so hard at work, you know, of course it's okay for me to take a ream of paper. Of course it's okay for me to take pens, because I work really hard and I deserve this, and they're not giving me overtime and blah, 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 blah. And I could convince myself of those things, that dishonesty, because it's that kind of small, I call it small dishonesty, but it's still dishonesty. You know, if I take a ream of paper and I haven't said to you, is it okay for me to take a ream of paper, then it's dishonest, I've stolen it. But I didn't look at it like that. And it wasn't until I came into the program that I was able to look at those shortcomings with the help of a sponsor. Because for me to look at those things just on my own, what am I going to do? I'm going to beat myself up. I'm going to go, I'm a terrible person. I'm the worst person in the world. And it's almost like trying to operate on yourself. You know, you can't perform an operation on yourself. I mean, you wouldn't dream of it. But it is trying to do it on your own without the help of a sponsor, without the support of a program. It means it's almost like you're operating on yourself. So you cut yourself, you expose a wound, and then you don't really know how to sort it out because it's so painful that you can't stitch yourself up. And so you're bleeding, and there you are. But with the help of a program and a sponsor, it means that when I expose those things, which are incredibly painful, because it isn't nice to see some of the things that, you know, that I've said or I've done or how I've behaved, but when I expose them with a sponsor, with my fellows, in a meeting, there's that safety of it's okay. I can do this in this environment. I can let each of you know, and I don't know all of you here. I know some of you, but I don't know all of you. But if I tell you, it's okay. Because what I know you're not going to do is you're not going to condemn me for it, because you may have the same thing, or you know somebody else in the fellowship who's been down the same road. And that's the joy, that's the peace, that's the strength, that's the hope of being in fellowship, that that we are able to expose ourselves in this way. And our defects are, it's okay to have them out there. Not to wear as a badge of honour, but to actually say, I know where you're coming from. Actually, I get what you're talking about. You know, this isn't, what you're saying to me isn't a surprise. You're not a terrible person. Yeah, I've been down that road as well. And to be able to do that with the help of a sponsor is a wonderful thing. And I cannot begin to say how grateful I am for sponsorship, to be sponsored and to be able to sponsor. Because this is some, this is some deep stuff, you know, to look at ourselves and to see, you know, it's a bit messy. It is really some deep stuff, but to have somebody who is able to take you through that journey is an amazing thing. And to also then be a person who can help somebody else, and that's the joy. and that's the strength of the program. I have been away, and I'm just back for the summer holiday, and I'll go away again. And one of the great things that I have seen is that this program works anywhere in the world. So it isn't just here, you know, it works in other parts of the world, even if people don't necessarily speak our language. It still works because at the heart of us, at the core of us, we're human beings, and we all kind of have pretty much those same shortcomings going on. It's just we don't have a program to be able to deal with them. You know, if you say to me, Brenda, well, what are your shortcomings, Brenda? Well, I say fear is there, right? And then everything else falls within that. Because the control, I want to control you, I want to control me, I want to control everybody, because then I feel safe, because I'm scared. But if I control everything, then it's all right. Don't ask me why I think I can control everything. I have a bit of a God complex, and I recognised that when I came into the program, that I felt I could control everyone and everything. So there's that control, and then there's the anxiety, and again, comes under the fear. Then there's my ego, comes into the fear, because I want you all to think well of me, and I want everyone else to think well of me, and then I'm validated because everybody thinks well of me. And if they don't, well then what am I worth? And it all comes under fear. And it was my sponsor who helped me to see that, because all of those shortcomings, it comes back to my fear. And as I, we move further into the program, we then start to do regular step 10s, and just to look at those things that are going on. And I won't go too much into that, because not everybody's perhaps at that point, and sometimes it can kind of be like, what's that all about? But what this program helps us to do, it helps us to look. So we look at things, we look at the shortcomings, we look at those defects of character, but we don't have to sit in them. We don't have to dwell in them. They don't have to be this comfortable place where I'm going, well, yeah, fear is my thing, and controlling people is my thing, and, hey, what am I going to do about it? It's being able to identify those things and being able to then have a way of moving on from those things. And it isn't a forever thing, because I say that like, oh, I never fear. I never try to control everybody. I don't ever have the ego, I don't ever have the pride. But that's not the truth. Because of course I do, but it's one day at a time. And I have to remind myself of that with the program. So I am abstinent today, but I am abstinent today. I cannot speak for tomorrow or 2 months down the line or next year. All I can talk about is right now and today. So today, the defects of character that I have, that pop up, I can hand them over to God. I can hand them over to God today. I can pray about them today and hand them over. Tomorrow morning I might wake up and decide I'm going to pick them up all over again. But you know what? I take the same action again and again and again, because that same action works. And that action then becomes a habit. It becomes ingrained. It becomes part of my life. So part of my life is, I wake up, I pray, I write. I don't write as often as I should, but I write. I write down what I'm going to eat. I take those actions because those actions work. I reach out to fellows because that's what works. I speak to my sponsor because that's what works. I speak to my sponsees because that's what works. I do those things. I take those actions that work. If I don't take those actions, things start to fall apart for me. And then I say, why are things falling apart? What's happening? And then I recognise, I'm not doing the things that work. I don't know about anybody else, but I get complacent. I think I've cracked it. Oh, I haven't got an issue with food anymore. I'm okay, I've done this. Oh, please, you can put whatever you like in front of me. I'm not going to want it. And yeah, I'm not somebody who now, I don't crave chocolate in particular, but that's right now, because tomorrow I might come up against a situation where I just think if I eat that bar of chocolate, it's just going to change my world. And everything's going to be better for me. My head knows that that's not the truth, but sometimes our hearts want to do other things. But if I take my actions, so humbly asking to remove our shortcomings. I go to God, I hand over those shortcomings. I hand over those shortcomings, and I do that on a regular basis. I do that, in a day I may need to do that 50 times, and that's okay. If that's what it takes to keep me out of the food, to keep me out of crazy behavior, then I have to keep doing it. You know, this morning I was running late, and I'm running late just because I'm running late. You know, sometimes that happens with me. But I recognize that actually I could do better. You know, I can be on time. There isn't an issue. I can be on time. But it's those things I can't hand them over and say, God, you know, God, you see me. You see what I'm like. Please, you have to help me because I can't do this on my own. Because I can't. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with saying, I need help. Step one, you know, we were powerless over food and our lives had become unmanageable. That's where I started. And yeah, sometimes I'm powerless over the shortcomings, whatever it is. And I'm okay with saying, I'm powerless over it, but God, you're not. I need help. Help me. And the help is there, always. So I'm really grateful for that. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to be able to say something, because, you know, the meeting that I attend in the country that I'm in, there are two of us. And every now and then there are three of us. And so to come in here, this is like, oh, this is so fabulous. It's so nice to see so many people. It really is. It's wonderful. And so I'm really grateful for it. And I'm grateful for fellowship. And I'm grateful that the meeting is still here. And I'll leave it there.
Thank you. Now it's time when we can each share on this set or another aspect of our programme. Please remember we share our experience, strength and hope. Confine your sharing.